Once freed, Ruin was able to affect the world more directly. The most obvious way he did this was by making the Ashmounts emit more ash, and the earth begin to break apart. As a matter of fact, I believe that much of Ruin's energy during those last days was dedicated to these tasks. He was also able to affect and control far more people than before. Where he had once influenced only a few select individuals, he could now direct entire Koloss armies. 48. As days passed in the cavern, Vin regretted knocking over the lantern. She tried to salvage it, searching with blind fingers. However, the oil had spilled. She was locked in darkness, with a thing that wanted to destroy the world. Sometimes she could sense it, pulsing near her, watching silently, like some fascinated patron at a carnival show. Other times it vanished. Obviously walls meant nothing to it. The first time it disappeared, she felt a sense of relief. However, just moments after it vanished, she heard Reen's voice in her mind. "I haven't left you," it said. "I'm always here." The words chilled her, and she thought, just briefly, that it had read her mind. However, she decided that her thoughts would have been easy to guess. Looking back through her life, she realized that Ruin couldn't have spoken each and every time she heard Reen's voice in her head. A lot of the time she heard Reen, it was in response to things she'd been thinking, rather than things she'd been doing. Since Ruin couldn't read minds, those comments couldn't have come from it. Ruin had been speaking to her for so long, it was difficult to separate her own memories from its influence. Yet she had to trust in the Lord Ruler's promise that Ruin couldn't read her mind. The alternative was to abandon hope. And she wouldn't do that. Each time Ruin spoke to her, it gave her clues about its nature. Those clues might give her the means to defeat it. "Defeat it?" Vin thought, leaning back against a rough stone wall of the cavern. "It's a force of nature, not a man. How could I even think to defeat something like that?" Time was very difficult to gauge in the perpetual blackness, but she figured from her sleep patterns that it had been around 3 or 4 days since her imprisonment. "Everyone called the Lord Ruler a god," she reminded herself. "I killed him." Ruin had been imprisoned once. That meant it could be defeated, or at least bottled up. But what did it mean to imprison an abstraction, a force like Ruin? It had been able to speak to her while imprisoned, but its words had felt less forceful then, less directed. Ruin had acted more as an influence, giving the child Vin impressions that manifested through memories of Reen. Almost like it had influenced her emotions. Did that mean it used allomancy? It did indeed pulse with allomantic power. "Zane heard voices," Vin realized. "Right before he died, he seemed to be talking to something." She felt a chill as she rested her head back against the wall. Zane had been mad. Perhaps there was no connection between the voices he heard and Ruin, yet it seemed like too much of a coincidence. Zane had tried to get her to go with him, to seek out the source of the pulsings that had eventually led her to free Ruin. "So," Vin thought, "Ruin can influence me regardless of distance or containment. However, now that it has been freed, it can manifest directly. That brings up another question. Why hasn't it already destroyed us all? Why play games with armies?" The answer to that one, at least, seemed obvious. She sensed Ruin's boundless will to destroy. She felt as if she knew its mind. One drive, one impulse. Ruin. So if it hadn't accomplished its goal yet, that meant it couldn't. That it was hindered, limited to indirect, gradual means of destruction, like falling ash and the light-stealing mists. Still, those methods would eventually be effective, unless Ruin was stopped. But how? It was imprisoned before, but what did the imprisoning? She'd once assumed that the Lord Ruler had been the one behind Ruin's imprisonment, but that was wrong. Ruin had already been imprisoned when the Lord Ruler had traveled to the Well of Ascension. The Lord Ruler, then known as Rashik, had gone on the quest with Elendi in order to slay the presumed Hero of Ages. Rashik's purpose had been to stop Elendi from doing what Vin had eventually done, accidentally releasing Ruin. Ironically, it had been better that a selfish man like Rashik had taken the power, for a selfish man kept the power for himself, rather than giving it up and freeing Ruin. Regardless, Ruin had already been imprisoned before the quest began. That meant that the deepness, the mists, weren't related to Ruin, or at least the connection wasn't as simple as she'd assumed. Letting Ruin go hadn't been what had prompted the mists to start coming during the day and killing people. In fact, the day mists had started to appear as much as a year before she'd released Ruin, and the mists had started killing people some hours before Vin had found her way to the well. "So what do I know? That Ruin was imprisoned long ago, imprisoned by something that perhaps I can find and use again?" She stood up. Too much sitting and thinking had made her restless, and she began to walk, feeling her way along the wall. During her first day of imprisonment, she'd begun, by touch, to scout the cavern. It was huge, like the other caches, and the process had taken her several days. However, she'd had nothing else to do. Unlike the cache in Urto, this one had no pool or source of water. And, as Vin investigated it, she discovered that Yeoman had removed all of the water barrels from what she assumed was their place on the far right corner. He'd left the canned food and other supplies. The cavern was so enormous that he would have had trouble finding time to remove everything, let alone finding a place to store it somewhere else. However, he'd taken all of the water. That left Vin with a problem. She felt her way along the wall, locating a shelf where she'd left an open can of stew. Even with pewter and a rock, it had taken her a frightfully long time to get into the can. Yeoman had been clever enough to remove the tools she could have used for opening the food stores, and Vin only had one vial's worth of pewter remaining. She'd opened some 10 cans of food on her first day, burning away what pewter she'd had inside of her. That food was already dwindling, however, and she was feeling the need for water. The stew did little to quench her thirst. She picked up the can of stew, carefully eating only a mouthful. It was almost gone. The taste reminded her of the hunger that was a growing complement to her thirst. She pushed the feeling away. She'd dealt with hunger for her entire childhood. It was nothing new, even if it had been years since she'd last felt it. She moved on, trailing fingers on the side of the wall to keep her bearings. It seemed like such a clever way to kill a mistborn. Yeoman couldn't defeat her, and he trapped her instead. Now he could simply wait for her to die of dehydration. Simple. Effective. "Perhaps Ruin is speaking to Yeoman, too," she thought. "My imprisonment could all be part of Ruin's plan. Whatever that is." Why had Ruin chosen her? Why not lead someone else to the Well of Ascension? Someone easier to control? She could understand why Ruin had chosen Elendi all those years before. During Elendi's time, the well had been sequestered in the mountains. It would have been a very difficult trek, and Ruin would have needed just the right person to plan, then survive, the expedition. However, during Vin's day, the well had somehow been moved to Luthadel. Or perhaps Luthadel had been built on top of the well. Either way, it was there, right beneath the Lord Ruler's palace. Why had Ruin waited so long to free himself? And of all the people he could have chosen as his pawn, why Vin? She shook her head as she arrived at her destination, the only other thing of interest in the vast cavern. A metal plate on the wall. She reached up, brushing her fingers across the slick steel. She'd never been an excellent reader, and the last year, spent in war and travel, hadn't afforded her much time to improve her abilities. And so it had taken her some time, feeling her way across each groove carved into the metal, to figure out what was written on the plate. There was no map, or at least not like the ones in the previous storage caverns. Instead, there was a simple circle, with a dot at the center. Vin wasn't certain what it was supposed to mean. The text was equally frustrating. Vin ran her fingers across the grooves, though she had long since memorized what the words said. "I have failed you. I have planned these caverns knowing a calamity is coming, hoping that I might find some secret that might be of use should I fall to the thing's scheming. Yet I have nothing, I do not know how to defeat it. The only thing I can think of is to keep it at bay by taking the power at the well for myself when it returns. However, if you are reading this, I have failed. That means I am dead. As I write this, I find that prospect to be less tragic than I might previously have assumed. I would rather not deal with the thing. It has been my constant companion, the voice that whispers to me always, telling me to destroy, begging me to give it freedom. I fear that it has corrupted my thoughts. It cannot sense what I think, but it can speak inside of my head. 800 years of this has made it difficult to trust my own mind. Sometimes I hear the voices and simply assume that I am mad. That would certainly be preferable. I do know that these words must be written in steel to be preserved. I have written them in a steel sheet, then ordered them scribed into a plate, knowing that in doing so I reveal my weakness to my own priests. The thing has whispered to me that I am a fool to expose myself by writing this and letting others see it. That is primarily why I decided to go through with the creation of this plate. Doing so seemed to make the thing angry. That is reason enough, I think. It is good that some few of my loyal priests know of my weakness, if only for the good of the Empire, should I somehow fall. I have tried to be a good ruler. At first I was too young, too angry. I made mistakes. Yet I have tried so hard. I nearly destroyed the world with my arrogance, and yet I fear I have nearly destroyed it again through my rule. I can do better. I will do better. I will create a land of order. The thoughts in my mind, however, make me wonder just how much of what I do has been twisted from my original intentions. At times, my empire seems a place of peace and justice. Yet if that is so, why can I not stop the rebellions? They cannot defeat me, and I must order them slaughtered each time they rise up. Can they not see the perfection of my system? Regardless, this is not the place for justification. I need no justification, for I am, after a form, God. Yet I know there is something greater than I. If I can be destroyed, it will be the cause of that destruction. I have no advice to give. It is more powerful than I am. It is more powerful than this world. It claims to have created this world, in fact. It will destroy us all eventually. Perhaps these stores will let mankind survive a little longer. Perhaps not. I am dead. I doubt that I should care. Still, I do. For you are my people. I am the hero of ages. That is what it must mean. Hero of ages, a hero that lives through the ages as I do. Know that the thing's power is not complete. Fortunately, I have hidden his body well. And that was the end. Vin tapped the plate with frustration. Everything about the words on it seemed contrived to frustrate her. The Lord Ruler had led them on this grand chase, then at the end he offered no hope. Elend was betting so much on what this plaque would contain, and yet it was virtually worthless. At least the other ones had contained some relevant information about a new medal or the like. I have failed you. It was infuriating, almost crushingly so, to come all this way then find that the Lord Ruler had been as stumped as they were. And if he'd known more, as his words implied that he did, why hadn't he shared it on the plate? And yet she could sense his instability even through these words, his washing back and forth from contrition to arrogance. Perhaps that was Ruin's influence on him. Or perhaps it was simply the way he'd always been. Either way, Vin suspected that the Lord Ruler couldn't have told her much more that would have been of use. He'd done what he could, holding Ruin at bay for 1,000 years. It had corrupted him, perhaps even driven him mad. That didn't stop her from feeling a sharp sense of disappointment at what the plate contained. The Lord Ruler had been given 1,000 years to worry about what would happen to the land if he were killed before the power returned to the well, and even he hadn't been able to come up with a way out of the problem. She looked up toward the plate, though in the darkness she could not see it. There has to be a way, she thought, refusing to accept the Lord Ruler's implication that they were doomed. What was it you wrote at the bottom? I have hidden his body well. That part seemed important. However, she hadn't been... A sound rung through the darkness. Vin turned immediately, growing tense, feeling for her last metal vial. Proximity to ruin had made her jumpy, and she found her heart beating with anxiety as she listened to the echoing sounds, sounds of stone grinding against stone. The door to the cavern was opening.